Thank you. Good day, friends. It is my great joy and blessing and privilege to come to you as we study day by day the Word of God, and we are seeking one thing, to so lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and the work which He so wonderfully accomplished for men and women, that you might know something of the reality of life in Christ. You might know Him in a very personal way. It's a wonderful thing to know Christ as your Savior. And it's even a more wonderful thing to enjoy fellowship with the living Christ of God. And it seems to me there has been, especially these past 10 or 20 years, a great distortion of the truth of God. In fact, I receive letters from some of you who listen in. At least I'm glad you're listening in. And you disagree with what I have to say. And some of you have been kind of rough on me, and I don't mind that at all. But remember this, that when you write me and you want to abrade me, be sure you bring your Bible with you, will you? And you show us where we're wrong. Instead of abrading us, you tell us where we're wrong. I want to tell you, my friend, today, that we have a real, all-sufficient Savior, Jesus Christ. And here was a time in the church at Antioch when the Apostle Peter, who knew the truth, didn't walk in it. And I'm in Galatians chapter 2. And we find here in this portion where the Apostle Paul manifests his apostolic authority, and he rebuked even Peter. And I want to take up three or four things about this. I'm thankful for Dr. B.B. Sutcliffe, who was the first president of the Multnomah School of the Bible, and of how he went through these verses. And indeed, some of the truths that I'm giving to you, I want to thank the Lord for Dr. Sutcliffe, especially for the simple division he made of these verses. I don't know what else he said about the book of Galatians, but I remember these few verses, and I want to thank the Lord for him publicly. We're reading from verse 11, and I'm going to read especially down through the first 11 to 14 today. When Peter was come to Antioch, Paul withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, that is, the Jewish leaders who had come. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And when I saw that they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, let me stop right here. Allow me to repeat what I said yesterday on the last lesson. Peter had come to Antioch, and Peter had been taught by the Lord himself, by revelation, that there was no difference between Jew and Gentile as far as salvation in Christ is concerned. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, and chapter 11, and chapter 15, those three chapters, you have the testimony of Peter himself. In fact, he said that we should not put upon the Gentiles, and I'm quoting Peter on this, a burden which neither we nor our fathers could bear. He's speaking here of keeping the law of Moses, which neither Peter nor his fathers nor all of them could bear. But we believe that through faith in Jesus Christ, we Jews will be justified, saved, just like these Gentiles. And when he came to Antioch and found this Gentile church, in fact, it was a church made up of both Jews and Gentiles, Peter had a wonderful time with the Gentile Christians. He just reveled in the fellowship. He ate with them. He had a wonderful time. And then one day, there came into the assembly certain Jewish Christians from Jerusalem. They came from James, and they came with the authority of the church at Jerusalem. And when Peter saw them, and the way they looked at him when he was eating with the Gentiles, and he left the Gentiles and went over to the Jews, and all the Jews who had been with Peter eating with the Gentiles left the Gentiles too, even Barnabas, Paul's co-laborer in the gospel, he too left and went over to Peter's side. So you see, you got on one side Peter and these religious leaders and the Jews and Barnabas, and on the other side you've got Paul and the Gentile Christians. Now, are we going to have two churches? Is there going to be a split in the early church? No, Paul stood up before them all and rebuked Peter right to his face. As I said, he didn't call Peter to one side and have a little secret talk with him. He rebuked him before them all. Being a public failure, there must be a public example. And the result was that he rebuked Peter. And may I say again, Peter had no excuse. Peter should have known better. Peter knew the truth but was afraid of men. This man-fearing spirit is a terrible thing. And how many preachers and Christian workers and Christians today, because they're afraid of men's faces, will not stand up boldly and declare the full gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, give us men today who will stand for the word of God even if they have to stand alone. And sometimes you have to. We're living in a day of compromise. And the truth is pushed to one side and Christ is dishonored. And we deny the sufficiency of the work of Christ. Now, let's look at it. In verse 11 to 13, if I may break it down, we have the nature of Paul's rebuke. And may I suggest that when a godly man fails in doctrine or walk, he lends the very weight of his godliness to the error which he allows. And according to Paul here, he's not walking uprightly. But you notice this, and I'm going to repeat that statement. Here is Peter, the leading apostle, an outstanding man for God, a man who had walked with the Savior 3.5 years. It was this Peter who stood on the day of Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 souls were saved. This same Peter, at the first persecution, preached, and 5,000 souls were saved. He and John were the two who were persecuted and beaten by the Sanhedrin in chapters 4 and 5 of Acts. It was this Peter who had gone down to the Gentiles and had preached the gospel to Cornelius in chapter 10. It was this Peter who had defended the Gentile message, if I can use that term. He had defended the gospel of the grace of God that the Gentiles and Jews were saved by simple faith. It was the same Peter who stood up at the first council of Jerusalem and defended the message which Paul and Barnabas had preached. He knew the truth. And I say that when Peter failed at Antioch and didn't walk in the truth which God had given to him, all his standing, all his apostleship, all his godliness was lent to the weight. It just lent weight to the error in which he had fallen. When a man who is an apostle fails, the very office which he holds is behind the very failure in which he falls. Now you take a man, when a man is a preacher, for example. When a preacher sins, he lends all the weight of his position and his life and his ministry behind the failure into which he falls. This is the nature of Paul's rebuke. Even Barnabas was carried away. Peter, you knew better than that. You knew better than that. And because you were an apostle, and because you were Peter, you carried away the Jews with you, and even Barnabas. You're to be blamed for this whole thing. You're dividing the church of Christ. You're not walking uprightly according to the gospel, which leads us to verse 14. And in verse 14, we see the inconsistency of his action. When I saw that they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now here is the inconsistency of Peter's action. Shall the Gentile be put under that from which Peter himself was delivered? Having turned his eyes from Christ and his sufficiency, he began to compel the Gentiles to be religious like the Jew. he was inconsistent in his action. He had declared that you could only be justified by faith. He knew that. He had been delivered from legalism. He had been delivered from his religion. He had been delivered from these things. Then why should he put the Gentile Christians under that from which he had been delivered? You see the inconsistency of it. Dear Peter is in a real box, and the Apostle Paul rebuked him publicly because of this thing. In other words, he was acting as a hypocrite. Do you mean to tell me that Peter was a hypocrite? Yes, he was. He knew the truth and didn't walk in it. He implied by his action that the gospel of the grace of God was not sufficient, that these Gentile Christians had to go back under that from which Peter himself had been delivered. And he was an inconsistent stand. And may I say this, and I say this kindly, I say it solemnly, there are too many Christians today who know the truth, but who are not walking in the truth. They're not walking uprightly according to the gospel. How were you saved, my friend? You were saved by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a transaction between you, the sinner, and Christ the Savior. The Lord didn't ask you to do anything but put your trust in Him. As Romans 4:5 says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Paul, writing to Titus, could say in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Allow me to go back to Romans 4, where we find that justification in the first 5 verses is by faith. And then David is given as an illustration, just as Abraham is given an illustration of justification by faith. David is used as an illustration that it's without works. And then Abraham is used again as an illustration, it's without ceremonies. Then he goes on to say, it's without the law. It's faith in the God who raises the dead. Faith in the risen Christ himself. Plus nothing. Now I know that when one becomes a Christian, God expects us to walk as Christians. But to become a Christian, all God asks of you, my friend, is to put your trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, and as a positive, definite transaction, you receive Him as your own personal Savior. And Peter was getting away from this, and hence he was not walking uprightly according to the gospel. Now you read that through, and the Lord richly bless you today for His name's sake.